that is really your key at the end of the day, just knowing your method quite well. No. The Bedminster was good, I swear. As a neutralisation capacity, this now flicks way back to the start of the course when we're looking at water quality, talking about the amount of buffer capacity in the soil in this case. So the carbonates clearly are good buffer capacity. The cation exchange capacity in the soil, what are the components of the soil that give us good cation exchange capacity? Clays? Yep. And? Organic matter is good? Yep. Yep, human conformic acids, they're very high buffer capacity. And? Allophane. It's another component of the soil, so it's an amorphous aluminous silicate. That's also got some buffer capacity as well. Base cation saturation, what's that? Put a star beside it. I will figure out what base cation saturation is about. Yeah, that's the right idea, yeah. There's formulas. You'll be expected to back that one up with as well. Yeah. Now, in the prac, we'll be looking at the A and C. We'll also be looking at the NAGP, the net acid generation potential. To do that, we take the total peroxidizable acidity, we subtract from it the acid neutralizing capacity, and this makes a lot of sense. TPA is the maximum amount of H plus that can be released from the sample. ANC is your buffer capacity. If you separate the two, or if you combine the two together, you're going to get the net amount of acid that can be released from that soil. If it's greater than zero, then you're going to get free acid. And once you know that number, it's really useful in predicting how much lime, for instance, as a neutralising agent, you would need to add to that soil so you can treat the acidity. So, for instance, if you've got a soil site which you are not going to move the soil away, have to deal with it, then what you can do is simply just add the appropriate amount of lime to that soil, then as the acid's released, it's automatically neutralised. And that way you don't have an environmental hassle. Well, lime's a pretty standard sort of agricultural ameliorant, for the want of better words. It is a strong base, so it does change the pH of the soil. But relative to having free sulfuric acid coming out of it, it's a good thing. Yeah. How much money have you got is really the question. But, you know, Blue Water is quite a big development, and they had to treat a really quite a large quantity of material. In their case, they went, well, rather than actually spend any money on treating the released acid, which is that approach there, they went, well, we'll just find a spot where we're not really going to do much development. We'll simply put that stuff there in a big hole and cap it, which is another, you know, if you've got the space, you know, it still costs them to have to move all the bad soil out of that spot. Okay, put some decent fill there and then cap the other stuff so that oxygen can't get at it. Particle size. Depends completely on particle size as to how quickly this process occurs. So if they're tiny particles of pyrite, then they react relatively quickly, but the big chunky bits is much slower. So we actually took samples from Blue Water one year for the prac and tried to ensure that we had some actual acid sulfate soils and potential acid sulfate soils. Robbie simply hadn't quite got his homework right on the actual acid sulfate side of the thing, and everyone we looked at was just a potential acid sulfate soil. Even though they'd been sitting out there for months and months fully exposed, they still hadn't generated any real acidity. So it can take quite a while for this thing to get underway. It's a little bit, as well, once it's initiated, then it starts cranking up.